We've been in the middle of a series here. We're talking about what are you reaching for? What are you reaching for? Whoops. It looks like I'm reaching for my phone right now. I should have turned that on off. It is for an illustration. My wife always wants everything out of my pockets before I come up here. And so she said, why are you taking the phone up? And I go, it's going to be an illustration. This isn't it. But anyway, it's going to be later on. You watch, hon. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. What are you reaching for? Are you reaching for your phone? Are you reaching for something more important? We talked about Moses reaching his full potential. We realized he had to face his fears. He had to go outside his comfort zone. He had to quit playing it safe. He had to quit running from his past and face it and embrace it. And he had to embrace the craziness of God. God does some crazy things in us. And he said that Satan will always try to keep you from reaching your full potential. He's always going to drag you down. We said, don't ever give up and always keep reaching. And then we put this acronym together. At least we got the R of this acronym. Five things I think God wants us to reach for. And that first one was relationships. You weren't created to be alone. You were created to be in the context of relationship with other people. But you've got to make sure you choose those friends correctly, right? The scripture that said, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts or ruins good morals. You're going to become like whoever you hang around with. And we realize that deception is the number one way that the devil works. He loves deception. Remember, watch the watch. Watch the watch. Instead of watching the Spirit of God. So, deception, I think the biggest problem in America today. And so, let's not be deceived. Let's find great friends, find a great church, find the truth, or you will find yourself lost. That's how we left it last time. And I want to talk about that lost aspect this morning. And by the way, if you want any of our messages, or if you want to send them to your home or anything, or if they want to be involved in any of that, want to know what you're being involved, or you're preaching here, you can simply get it on our Living Faith Fellowship app or livingfaithfellowship.com. Check the media and you can get any of our messages. What does the E stand for? R-E-A-C-H-R-E. This morning we're going to talk about the E of what God wants us to reach out for, and that is evangelism. Everybody say evangelism.
Evangelism.
Now smile. Okay? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You ever talk about the word evangelism? Everybody goes, oh no. And don't go to sleep because this message is for you. Oh no, that's just for the evangelist. No, no. It's for everybody here. It's for everybody here. We call this outreach. Outreach. The second reach that we should have. Would you please stand with me as we go through our scripture this morning in Acts 1, 8 and 9. I love this passage of scripture. I think it's absolutely incredible. Say it with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. You may be seated. I put that last part in there because I wanted you to know this. These are his last words. These are his last words that he's going to speak to his disciples. He's going to speak before he leaves this planet. When you think about last words, are they unimportant words? If you're on your deathbed and you gather your children around you and you want to say these last words, children, I want you to... You're going to listen, right? Hopefully. I want you to... What? 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 Here Jesus gives in his very last words what he wants you to do. He's telling you what's the number one thing on his heart. Not all the extra things that are out there and the things that don't matter. He's going to tell you the number one thing that really matters to him, that really has gripped his heart. And he tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and what will you do with that power? You will be my... You'll be my... Power for... Say it with me. Power for... Power for witnessing. We're all going, oh no, I can't do that. I'm scared. It's just tough. I can't go. The number one reason he gave the Holy Spirit, he gave you the power, is so that you would have the power to witness. The supernatural power of God upon you, so you could just simply tell his story to somebody. That you could be a witness and tell what happened to you. You don't need wonderful, awesome, and inspiring words. You just need your life, because that's inspiring. What happened to you? You share that. That's what it means. I was thrilled. I don't know if Steve knew at all what I was preaching on, but he said, he talked about in the prophetic this morning, he talked about, they don't know, but you know. And then he said this, please tell them. Please tell them. You know, he's just a man trying to interpret what the Lord was speaking to him. I'm sure the word please came out. It's the reason I came. Please, please, I beg you, please tell somebody else. I don't know how to say, I don't know what the words, I don't know the four spiritual laws and the da da da. How do you, oh, but you know what happened to you. I was walking this way, man. I was in sin and all this stuff. And somebody shared with me. And I go, oh, no, 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 no. And then they share with me again. I go, no, no, I don't want to. And they share with me again. And I go, no, no, no. I was getting deeper and deeper into sin. And finally, somebody shared with me. And I went, oh, my gosh, I'm so deep in this stuff. I don't say the word C-R-A-P because my wife does not want me to say that. I caught myself right there, honey. I'm knee deep in this. And finally, when the person's knee deep says, yes, yes, yes. You just tell them what happened to you. Because you said yes at some point in your life to Jesus, and then he came in and he washed you clean. He gave you a purpose. He forgave you of all the junk you ever did. And he set you free. And he made you heaven bound. That's all we have to say. The last words of Jesus, please. And in order to do that, I'm going to give you this thing called the Holy Spirit, and it's going to have this power to help you be a witness, to be a witness, to be a witness. This dunamis. The word dunamis means force or miraculous power, a miracle itself. This is where we get the word dynamite from. This word dunamis. I'm going to give you this dunamis, this power, this dynamic power, so you can just simply tell people about me. Wow. Miraculous power for what? To be a witness. We have power. I need a couple of volunteers out there. Do we have any newer type folks here that would like to help me in an illustration? It's good. Don't worry. I'm not going to embarrass you. They don't trust me anymore. Anybody want to help me? I need at least one person. Yeah, come on. Come on up here. All right. Come on up here. What's your name? What is it?
Christian.
Christian. All right. This guy's a Christian. All right. You go on up here. All right, you hop up a step there, okay. And I'll just get right to here. All right, here's what I want to do. I realize one thing. The stronger your torso or your core, the stronger your core is, the further you can reach out. Because the stronger you are here, the further you can then reach out. The less strong you're here, the less you can reach out. So the stronger that your core is, the stronger your core is, the further you can reach out. However, you got to be careful of one thing, though, okay? You're reaching out to me, right? Okay, reach out to me. And you want me to pull me up to where you're at. Okay, pull me up. All right. You didn't do a very good job there. All right, Christian, come on. You need to be a better Christian. All right, come on. Christian, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with him? I thought he was a strong Christian. Nice torso. What's the problem? Is it easier to pull up or easier to pull down? It's easier to pull down. The one thing you got to be careful when you're reaching out to somebody, by the way, you stepped on my foot twice. Oh, man, he gets even, man. Jeez. The thing you've got to be careful when you're reaching out is that if you're not strong enough, or, I mean, he's pretty strong, but the idea of the position of where we're at has a lot to do with it. He is walking out of the world in the things of the kingdom of God, right? To get to another person up to that level is more difficult than it is for that person to pull you back down. I see it happen all the time. I see it happen all the time. I'm going to help my friend. He just really needs Jesus. And you know what happens? The person is back in the bar, sleeping around, doing all the stuff. And he's going, oh my gosh, how did he get here? I was just trying to help my friend. Well, your friend pulled you back into the world. Now, there's two things about a core. The core can be this way, a core, as a Christian. Go ahead and stand back up there, Christian, on your, because you're a spiritual man. All right? I need three or four more people here. I need our strengths coach. Where are you? Amir. Amir, are you here? Come on, Amir. You got to come up here. I know you hate doing these, but come on up. Oh, come on up. Oh, look at this. Taking the challenge. All right. Come on up, guys. Amir here. Amir is the strengths coach at... He makes you look small, doesn't he? He's the coach there getting all of our WSU football players strong, getting them very, very strong. He's an amazing man, too. He has an amazing heart. God has an amazing call of God on his life, too, man. I'll tell you that. It's incredible. Why don't you just keep walking this way? Hey. Just keep, Isaac, keep coming. Keep coming, Isaac. Wrong time to come back from the bathroom. Wrong time. Okay, I want you all to stand up here. Stand up here. What's your name?
Matthew.
Christian.
Michael.
Amir.
Isaac.
Look at all these good names. All right, I love it. All right, now here's what I want you to do. Now, there's two ways you can strengthen your core. You can either strengthen it internally, or you can strengthen it, get a little tighter, everybody, externally. Now, when this core comes to reach out to me. Okay, everybody grab hold of me. Everybody grab a spot. Everybody grab a spot. Grab two. Oh, look at that. He's got me by the neck. All right, here we go. Ready? See if you can get me up there. One, two, three.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Holy cow, man. I got overpowered. Amir took me by the throat, man, and just pulled me right up. Anyway, can you give them all a hand? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Going back. Oh, we got candy bars, or if you want, do we have, if you guys like, what are they, fraps or whatever those, if you want a frap or something like that, you can get that in there. If you like coffee better, whatever, grab something there. Okay. Do you see the point about evangelism? If you know, hey, I'm not that strong yet, you don't go after some guy that's really hardened and he's pulling you down. You need to gather around people, other Christians who will help you become a stronger torso to help someone else come out of the miry clay that they're in. Literally, I thought my shoes were going to be left behind. Power. He's given us power to be witnesses. The word witness means is the word martos. Martos, that's where we get the word martyr from. It means a witness, one who testifies. Either you testify with your life or testify with your death. We think of martyr always as a person who testifies with his death, but you can also be a martyr who testifies with your life. The word means be a witness. Be a witness. You don't have to die. Well, you do. You have to die to yourself, which may be even a more difficult task than physically dying. You have to die to yourself to be a witness, to be a martyr, to be one who testifies. A witness is one who testifies what he saw. That's all they're talking about. The word testify means to make a solemn declaration under oath for the purpose of establishing a fact, as in a court. To make a statement based on personal knowledge or belief. To declare publicly, to make known. That's what we're supposed to be as witnesses. To make him famous, to make his name known. They don't know me. Will you please tell them? They don't know me. Will you please tell them. How do we do that? We testify. We make His name known by what we do, by how we live, by what we speak. We're a witness. A witness. Are we doing our witnessing silently? Do people around you know that you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus? I like that term. A lot of people call themselves Christians. I look, are you following Jesus? Are you making movement? Are you changing your life? Do they know you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus by your actions and words? Or is it a secret? Have you made your Christianity a secret? Shh, don't tell nobody. I don't want anybody knowing. Why? Why don't you want anybody to know? There isn't a good reason. There's only a bad reason. And the worst reason is, it may cause this person to live in the wrong place forever. Secret. I hear people say all the time, well, my faith is a personal matter. My faith is a private thing. Well, so is, I'm married. That's a private thing. But I tell people I'm married. And I go, are you married? I'm sorry, that's a private thing. Personal. Prefer not to answer that question. Why? I mean, if I have children. I'm a grandpa, right? I'm a grandpa. I love being a grandpa. That's personal. But you know what? I'm telling everybody I'm a grandpa. I love to know that I'm a grandpa. I have 12 grandchildren. 12. I actually have 13. We have one on the way. Heidi is pregnant. One on the way. 13. 13. Ah! I love it. We're trying to reach 50, so get going, everybody. They're not going, are you a grandpa? Oh, no, I can't tell you. It's a personal thing. No, man. Do you know why I tell everybody I'm a grandpa? Because I'm proud of those kids. I'm proud of who I am, that I have the privilege of being a grandpa. Are you proud that you're a Christian? Are you glad? Are you ashamed? You know, some people are ashamed. They don't want nobody to know. I don't want to say it because then they might what? Maybe look at you and see your life and someday down the line come to Christ because of your testimony and your actions and live forever. Is it a personal thing to you? Is it a personal thing to you that you're saved? One place for sure where it won't be personal and where you won't be silent is when you're standing at the pearly gates and they're asking you, why should I let you in here? It's kind of a personal thing. I prefer not to say. Oh, we prefer not to let you in then. Do you think you're going to stand at the pearly gates and go, you know, it's personal. I don't want to say anything. You're going to be saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Let me in. I mean, you're not going to be bashful up there. You're not going to be silent up there. I'm a Christian. Don't use the excuse, it's personal, and stay silent. Instead, use the power of the Holy Spirit and witness. If you want the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to go to where you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't feel empowered. I'll tell you, get in the conversation and watch God start giving you the words in the hour of need. And you just share your story. What happened to me? Everybody has a story here. You can all share that. You don't need to know, now I need to know exactly how to do it and what to do. And no, you just simply share what happened to you. Now, I'm going to train you further in that. I got all sorts of classes, all sorts of stuff. We're going to help you grow in that. For sure, I'm going to help you better equip you to do that. But you all can at least share what happened to you. A slave to sin and now freed by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ on my life. I love what it says here. You'll be a witness. A witness where? Where does it say first? You know it. You shall be a witness first in Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? The city that I'm living in, right? What he's trying to say is, hey, we're all from here. Where I am right now, right here. You're to be a witness right here. Judea, where's Judea? It's where I travel around to. It's the area around. It's wherever I go. Wherever I go, I'm a witness. I'm a witness in my hometown. I'm a witness wherever I go. And thirdly, in Samaria. What was Samaria? It was the bad places. People didn't like Samaria. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans, remember? Remember the Samaritans? They were carried away in the captivity into Assyria. And when they finally all came back, and as they were carried away into captivity, they took most of them, left a few in the land, and the few in the land intermingled because they brought a bunch of other nations back into Samaria and the surrounding northern tribe area, and they began to intermingle, intermarry. And people thought, wow, you're not staying true to the word. You're not staying, you're letting other things come in, and we're intermarrying stuff. And then all of a sudden they were taking the ideas and the ideologies of who they were marrying, and then they were worshiping those gods, and they did that a bunch anyway, but there were these mixed, if you will. They had the idea to worship the Lord, but then all of these other idols that they were worshiping as well, and so they did them both. They did them both. There's a lot of that happening today in the world. Oh, hi, I love the Lord and I worship Him, but I have all these other things also that I'm dragging into my Christian relationship. And the Lord said, I'll have no other gods before me. It isn't Christianity. You can't mix it together. It's not a mix. They call them half-breeds. They despise them. And after they returned from Babylon and came back, they're rebuilding the temple and all of that, the Samaritans were the ones coming and causing them all these problems and tried to stop them from building. Another strike that they didn't like them. Not only that, is that all the outlaws of Judea, all those who weren't following the religious laws, all the people that were the outcasts, they all went to Samaria. Another reason why they didn't like any of those Samaritans. For this cause, it arose an irreconcilable difference between them so that the Jews regarded the Samaritans as the worst of the human race. The worst. The have-nots. But I love it. Jesus comes in and He breaks down that wall, doesn't He? He says, the good Samaritan. Now you got to understand, the good Samaritan, the idea of being a good Samaritan. Samaritan was the word bad. A good, bad person? These guys are awful. They're not good. They're the have-nots. They're not so well people. They're the people you don't want around. They're just icky and I don't like them. Jesus went and ministered to them. The lady at the well was from Samaria, and He spoke to her. I'm telling you that Jesus cares for the Samaritans. Jesus cares for the have-nots. Jesus cares for the have-nots. Jesus cares for the have-nots. The addicts, the convicts, those that are in jail, the homeless, the despised. He cares for them. Go and reach out to those right here. Go and reach out wherever you go. Go and reach out to the people nobody else likes. Get them. 1 Corinthians 1:27 and 28 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. You see, God chose. It's interesting. He's choosing. God chose foolish, weak, base, despised, have-nots. Because honestly, ladies and gentlemen, that's probably me. That's me. And in some cases, it's probably you. Where you were weak. Where you were foolish. Where you did something that brought somebody that despised you. The have-nots. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't give up on me. And fourthly, He says, the ends of the earth. What is that? Missions, right? I believe everyone in here should go on a missions trip sometime in their life, preferably as young as possible. All you college kids, you need to go on a missions trip. All you teenagers, you need to go on a missions trip. All you other folks, you need to go on a missions trip. We have a great missions pastor, a great missions leader here in C.J. Carrier. He's absolutely incredible. He and his wife do an amazing job. And I'm telling you, you need to go on a trip. The next one's coming up. I don't know. I can't remember if we're going back to Puerto Rico or where we're going. Huh? Yes, we're going back to Puerto Rico. So it's a great spot to go out there. I'll tell you, come back and you appreciate things a whole lot differently. You see, God wants us to reach the world with His gospel. He gave us the power to be a witness. Not only gave us the power, it's His purpose. In Luke 9:19-10, it says this. Jesus also said His purpose in coming to the earth. He said this, "For the Son of Man has come." Why did you come, Jesus? "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Seek and save. Seek and save. Seek and save. Seek is not accidental. Oh, I stumble up on a few people and I talk to them. No, He's like a heat-seeking missile, man. He's purposeful. He's after you. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, He's after you. I'll tell you that. He's after you. He's not going to let you go either. He's not going to let you go. He'll make things happen. He'll make life miserable where it's at, man. Until all of a sudden you realize, you know what? I need something more than just the party life or just living for the approval of man or just all this other stuff or all the sin that I'm in. He's not going to give up on you. And then when you turn it all over and it's really ugly and it's absolutely vile and you turn it over, Jesus is going to go, "Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming to me. I gladly take all of this junk." We keep thinking we're embarrassed by it. He gladly takes it and abolishes it. Wipes the slate clean. You don't have to go, "Oh, what do I have to do?" Nothing. You do nothing except allow Him to come into your life. You do nothing. What a God. Because He did it all for you. He's seeking you and He won't stop. He won't stop. You're going, "God, why is this happening?" He won't stop. He won't stop. If you've been walking with Him and you've turned your back on Him or you're backslidden some, you're walking the other way and you're going, "Why is it?" Because He's not going to stop. 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 He's going to keep going after you. He's going to keep loving you. He's going to keep caring about you. He said He came to save the lost having gone astray. And Luke is the parable about the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost man. You see, God wants lost things found. Hence, it comes to this. Has anybody ever lost their phone? In fact, somebody's lost their phone, I can tell. Or lost your keys. You lose your keys. You lose your phone. I lost my sunglasses just recently. And you're going, "Where are they?" When you lose your phone or lose your keys, you go, "Ah, I lost them. They'll show up sometime," and just go about your life. Does your life take a drastic change right then? The adrenaline level speeds up when you realize, "Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone?" I remember one day, I was talking to somebody on the phone. I was going, "Da, da, 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 da." And I went, "Where's my phone?" I'm talking to the person and they go, "Where's my phone?" I mean, it's crazy. You're not going to rest until you're going to read. "Hey, what restaurant was I at? Did I leave it there? Did I leave it here? Did I leave it there?" You're going to be calling. You don't just go, "Well, it'll show up." You're going to be on the hunt, man. You're going to be on the hunt. Why? Because you have to find it. Let me tell you, that is no different than God after you. You're lost. You're losing your way. He is on the hunt and He wants to find you. He wants to find you. He wants to find you. He's not going to just, He's anxious inside. He wants it to happen. He's not going to quit. He's going to keep going until you're found. And let me tell you what, that's the definition of love. Because He will endure a lot, and He endured a lot of that bad word in my life until I finally gave over the reins to Him. Lost. Lost. We have a lot of lost people out there that don't even know they're lost. If you talk to your friends, "Hey, do you know you're lost?" "Oh, I'm not lost. Hey, I got friends. I got this. We got great things going on. We're partying. Hey, I got girls. I got this. I got, man, I'm not lost, man. I'm having a time of my life right now." Because they don't know they're lost. When all the wheels start falling off, sometimes they start figuring out they're a little bit lost. Then they become depressed. Lost. We have a world that's lost but doesn't even know it. Did you hear the word this morning? They don't even know it. They don't know they're lost. Would you please tell them? Would you please tell them? Tell them that they're lost. I remember, I was sharing it Wednesday night a little bit, when I was in Salt Lake City visiting my grandmother. I was about 5, 6, 7 years old. I'd gone to the pool. They let me walk to the pool, and I got done swimming at the pool, and then I was coming home. This is in the days when you could walk around and weren't worried about getting kidnapped or whatever. And so I'm walking back, and I was in Salt Lake. I didn't live in Salt Lake. I lived in Boise. And so I'm coming back, and I started walking. I didn't, unbeknownst to me, I walked the other direction. I started walking further away and further away, and I go, this doesn't look familiar. This doesn't look familiar. But I was just, as a boy, I was a happy boy. I liked to whistle, you know, and just loving life. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. I was like the eternal optimist. Everything's great, because I just love that. And so I love positive things and all that. So I'm just having a great time, walking further away, getting further, further lost. The thing was, I was having a great time. I didn't know I was lost. Until all of a sudden I'm walking away and I'm going, I don't recognize anything. I don't know where I'm at. And I started turning different directions, and I go, and when I realized, I said, I'm lost, all of a sudden I just started breaking down and crying big crocodile tears. Just scared to death now. Scared to death. I see a gas station in the distance, so I go to the gas station, and they finally say, oh, and I go, just letting it out. The guy goes, oh, okay, no, that's all right, buddy. Hey, we're going to get you found. He goes, what's your mom's name? They go, oh, my mom's name is Mom. What's your grandma's name? I don't know. I don't know. But I remember something about Hill or something. And so her last name was actually Hill. And I don't know how I got that. And so they got that, and they were looking in the phone book and looked around and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. They ended up figuring out somehow how to call her. Now, I honestly don't know. But when my mom showed up, oh, gosh, I was in heaven because I was found. I was lost. Didn't know it. Then I got found. And wow, was that awesome. Getting found. Getting found. Lost. And found. Lost. And found. We were lost. But God finds us. It's interesting, there's a quote that says this. When I think about people walking away from God or walking into the world and just thinking it's going to be great and trying to climb the ladder of success. As we need to do to climb the ladder of success. Many people are going to climb the ladder of success only to find it's leaning against the wrong wall. It's not where I want to be. It's not where I want to be. He came to save us. To save us, to make us whole. In Joel 3:14 it says this. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And that decision will determine your eternity. Will you persuade these multitudes? They're in the valley of decision. They're deciding. They're deciding things in life. Their values. Their core values. Their direction in life. What they're going to do. Who they're going to worship. Who they're going to follow. Will you persuade them? It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. Let me tell you this. Hell is a real thing. Hell is a real thing. And it's going to be real personal for someone who goes there. Because someone was afraid to tell them their story. I'm not asking you to get on a soapbox and preach unless God's called you to that. I'm not asking you to tell everybody and be the nuisance in your job or at school. I'm just saying, as you're a witness and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, He's giving you the power, that when He starts speaking to you and He says something about a person, do you move toward them and share something and say something? You bless the person who gives you your groceries or your food and just say something nice and bless them. And maybe at that moment, as they're talking back and they say something, that God gives you an opportunity to say something more. I'm not asking you to be the person everybody hates. Because Jesus was the person everybody liked. They came running to him. They came running to him. The only people who didn't like him were the religious leaders. I'm not asking you to be that person that, oh, God, yeah. I'm asking you to be tactful. I'm asking you to be spirit-led. I'm asking you to think about praying for people that are around you. And then, God, give me the opportunity. Give me the moment and time. Give me the divine moment where all of a sudden you come down and you touch a person's life and his heart is broken now and you give me the words to say something to them. Are we praying for those moments? Or is it personal to you? Don't want to share it. Don't want to give it away. A lot of people are going to be bummed the truth wasn't given to them when they stand at a different gate that's considerably warmer. Now, let me tell you this. I know in our generation today, we have this theology that says there is no hell. But that's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie. There is the opposite. There is the opposite. Don't give an excuse, but give your life away as a witness. Remember this, that success in evangelism is based on obedience, not results. You talk with somebody and, oh, they didn't get saved. That's 5.4 times you're going to have to hear the gospel before they're ever going to get saved. Maybe you're number one or two or three or four or five. Maybe you're the 5.4 person who talks to somebody and they get saved. I'll tell you, it'll be a great moment in your life because I've seen it time and time again and what it does to me. Oh, they're saved. Oh, Jesus. Someone new to the kingdom of God. I want to say this one scripture as we bring this to a close. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." When you became a Christian, you became an ambassador for Christ. I'll tell you what, the greatest ambassador is not to a nation, it's to a person, and that's Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I probably didn't read that correctly. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you. That word implore, an interesting Greek word, it means to beg. To beg as binding oneself, a petition. God's heart is that you would beg for their salvation. Paul said he wished he could be accursed that they might be saved. Do we have a passion for lost people? I remember a story of a guy who's passing out tracts. And he was giving it to one guy and he was trying to share the gospel with him. The guy said, "I don't want any of your God," and took the tract, ripped it into pieces like this and put it in his pocket. Didn't want to litter. And the guy that he was sharing with him, looked at him and he just broke down in tears and wept. And the guy looked at him and goes, "Hey dude, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you." And he goes, No. I just care about your soul." The guy left. He was this one guy would preach on the street corner all the time and he's giving out tracts. A couple of days go by and he comes back and there's that guy. And there's that tract he gave him. A booklet, all taped together. And he said, "You know, I went home and I took that tract out of my pocket. And I said, if that guy is so emotional over this piece of paper, I better read what it says. So I tape it all together. I put it all together. And at the very end of that tract where it talks about how you can pray and receive Christ, I prayed that prayer. And I asked Jesus into my life. And he gave him a big hug." Is that our heart for lost people in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth? Because it's God and he asked us this morning, would you please tell them? This morning before we have communion, I'd like to do just one last thing. I believe there's some people in here this morning that maybe don't know the Lord. Maybe you're far away from the Lord. Maybe you knew the Lord at one time and you're kind of backslidden, or you're just not walking the way you should. So either if you don't know the Lord, you need to get saved, or maybe you realize there's some things in my life I just need to let go of. I'm not walking where I'm supposed to be. I'm not saying this to your shame. I'm saying this to your freedom. Because I'm also a person like that. I need the Lord each and every day of my life. But if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head and all that. I just want you to, if you're here and that's you and you'd like to receive the Lord, I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not asking you to do nothing. Would you just raise your hand? Is there anybody here who needs to know more of the Lord? Just looking. You have one? Thank you, man. Thank you for the courage. You know what always takes courage? To raise your hand. I'll tell you what, it'll take delight when you stand at the gate and they let you in. Because there's going to be some people here, they're going to go, I didn't ever raise my hand, and now I don't get into the gate. Anybody else? Examine your heart. Anybody else? All right. I just want to pray for you when we get done here. If you wouldn't mind, allow me to pray for you. I'd love to be able to pray for you when we get done. Father, we just thank you that you're an amazing God. You love us so much. Help us, Lord, to get your name out of the box, out of the book, and into people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.